Hello, welcome back to our show talking about true crime. We are your hosts, Olivia and
co-host Michelle.
In today's episode, we will be talking about Pedro Lopez, who was a Colombian serial killer and quite likely the world's worst sex offender ever. We will be talking about his life and crimes. This is episode 9. If you are interested in hearing more about Pedro, then please listen to our episode about him. We hope you are as interested in learning about Pedro as we are. Who is Pedro Lopez and what crimes did he commit? Find out in this episode of Talking About True Crime. Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, there will be things mentioned in this podcast that are triggers for some people. Proceed with caution. Not recommended for people under the age of 13. Pedro Alonso Lopez was born on October 8, 1948, in Santa Isabel, Colombia. Pedro's parents were Medardo Reyes and Benilda. Pedro's father was a member of the country's right-wing party who was killed in La Violencia, the armed conflict of the era that would have repercussions for years to come. Pedro's mother, Benilda, was 3 months pregnant with her son at the time of his father's death. Pedro had 13 siblings. He was the seventh child among them. His mother said when Pedro was a child, he was polite and wanted to be a teacher. But Pedro later stated his mother was physically abusive and a sex worker who was also assaulted by clients. Some reports have claimed that he was kicked out of the house by Benilda after fondling his younger sister, and that his mother took him 200 miles away to Bogota, the capital city of Colombia, on a bus so he could not find his way home again after she failed the first time taking him to the edge of the city. Other reports say he ran away. There he became one of the homeless children known as gamins. He ended up joining a gang and smoked a suco. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, everyone. An impure form of cocaine. When he lived on the streets, a stranger approached Pedro and offered him a bet, but instead took a young Pedro to an abandoned building and sexually assaulted him. When Pedro was 10 years old, an elderly couple found him on the streets and let him live with them. They enrolled him at a school for orphans. However, while Pedro was going to that school, he was molested by a teacher. He was 12 years old at the time. He ran away once again and found himself living on the streets. Pedro would eventually speak of wanting revenge for his suffering as a child. Having grown up on the streets, he was arrested at the age of 21 years old. Some reports say that it was when he was 18 years old, for stealing a car. When the money he took from the school ran out, he supported himself by stealing cars and selling parts to local chop shops. In 1966, Pedro ended up behind bars with a 3-year sentence in a Colombian prison. On his second day in prison, he was gang raped by 4 older inmates, something that is all too common in male-populated prisons as dominance and control within relations among prisoners. He did not report the crime, but enacted his own form of future serial killer justice. In the weeks following the attack on Pedro, he fashioned a prison shank and slit the throats of 3 of the assailants over the next few weeks. He received an additional 2 years added to his sentence for the murders. Some sources say that he did not receive the extra 2 years on his sentence and that he was not suspected of the 3 murders. Since he was released in 1969, it is likely that he was not given the additional time. In 1992, Pedro was interviewed by Ron Leitner, a correspondent from the National Examiner. Given access to the monster's lair, Ron's interview gave an insight into this killer no one had seen before, including information about his early life. Not unlike other serial killers, Pedro gave an interview while he was incarcerated. Often, serial killers enjoy talking about themselves at length, further feeding their narcissism. Pedro was no different. Pedro told Ron he was subjected to sexual acts at a young age that had a lasting impression on him. In a rare moment of self-awareness, he admitted why he chose the victims he did. Pedro Lopez stated, "I lost my innocence at the age of 8, so I decided to do the same to as many young girls as I could." Upon his release from prison, he ended up in Peru, where he began his career as the Monster of the Andes. Now, I'm not entirely sure that I said that right, so I apologize if I said that word wrong. Starting a pattern of evasion from records and authorities, Pedro made his way to Peru, where his series of murders began. He started stalking and murdering young girls. Like many other serial killers, he preyed on girls from lower socioeconomic classes. He would lure them to remote areas where he would rape, murder, and mutilate them, and then dump their bodies. By 1978, less than a decade after his initial release from prison, he later estimated that he had murdered at least 100 young girls in Peru. While in these remote areas of Peru, he discovered an even easier victim. He targeted young girls from the native tribes in the region. The sparsely populated areas where these tribes lived were far away from the police and any form of justice, or at least that's what he thought. During an attempt to kidnap and murder another victim, the Ayacuchos, a tribe native to northern Peru, captured him. The rules of tribal law dictated that anyone caught committing such a crime would receive a death sentence. The tribe stripped him nude, beat him, and buried him up to his neck. Pedro later stated on that situation, "They had placed syrup on me and were going to let me be eaten by ants." Before tribal justice was served, a Christian missionary from the United States convinced the tribe to release him and turn him over to the Peruvian authorities. He was turned over to the police. The missionary, a female, placed a tied-up Pedro in the back of her jeep, drove to Colombia, and dropped him off. He said in a later interview that he didn't harm her because she was too old to attract him. Lopez continued to murder people by the late 70s. He got to Ecuador, where scores of girls began to go missing there. The families tried to find the girls on their own. Her mother put up an ad in the newspaper about her missing daughter. In the 1980s, around the Ambato region, sorry if I mispronounced that, everyone, Carolina Raymond, with a group of her peers, caught Lopez in Ecuador attempting to lure Raymond's daughter at a busy market. Once the police had him in custody, he refused to cooperate with them. Then investigator Pastor Guadino went in as an inmate for authorities. When he gained Lopez's trust, he was able to get his confession and the details on where he buried the victims. The police unearthed 57 bodies. Some reports say it was 53 bodies. With his confessions, they charged him with 110 murders. He claimed that he murdered around 200 more in the neighboring countries of Peru and Colombia. On July 31, 1981, the 33-year-old Pedro pleaded guilty for murdering 57 girls. He was imprisoned at Ambato, where he was officially diagnosed as a sociopath. In Ecuador's laws, he would receive the maximum sentence of 16 years. Because of the public outrage, later Ecuador would change it to a maximum prison sentence to 25 years. On August 31, 1994, Pedro had been released from Garcia Moreno prison for serving a 14-year sentence. For having good behavior, he was released 2 years early. He was deported to Colombia. When he got there, the authorities attempted to convict him for a 2-decade-old murder, but instead they declared that Lopez was insane, and in 1995 he went to a psychiatric facility. In February of 1998, they declared him sane and released him. His bond was under 50 with additional stipulations. He visited his elderly mother to ask about his inheritance and was informed of her poverty. So he sold her bed and chair to the people on the streets. Lopez vanished, with concerns having risen about the possible connection about the 2002 murder. His whereabouts to this day is still unknown. Some think he wound up in prison again, while others think he is still free. Okay, Mom, what do you think about what we read?
Trying to abandon her son twice? What is up with that mother? She's the one that had all the kids. Why should he be punished by...
Well, see, the thing is that she kicked him out due to him touching his little sister.
Mm-hmm.
The way she handled it, because I read somewhere that she tried to ditch him off drop him off at the edge of town, and he found his way home again. So she put him on a bus. I'm not sure if she went with or not, but it was said that she put him on a bus. It drove 200 miles away just so he could not
find his way home.
Yeah, find his way home again. She did not handle that situation properly. Mm-hmm. She basically abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
His home life might have been lashing out and stuff. And instead of helping him, she just ditches him, basically.
Yeah.
And made him live on the streets.
And then he would see the abuse his mother would go through for being a...
Yeah, I know.
That could be turned into some pretty bad damage there. Because fights can be pretty bad.
Yeah. He witnessed a lot.
Yeah.
And then him being molested didn't help either.
No.
Or raped, one of the two. It said both. Him doing that. I mean, the reason why he did that to that many girls, he said, is because he had his innocence taken away at 8. So he wanted to retaliate and take it away from as many people as he could. That's why he targeted these girls.
And that's what's messed up.
Yeah, I know.
Just because he had a bad start at life, he's doing it to other people.
Now, like I said, there's some people that are strong enough to not do it to others for what they've been through, but then there's others who aren't. It just depends on the person, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. It's like back then they needed the help way before people really realized what's going on.
Exactly. Because you got killers and everything going way back when.
Yeah.
And they should have brought the help out way sooner than they did.
Well, back in those days, they didn't really know much of anything. Look at the technology now. When I was a kid, there was no cell phones.
So, and that's what sucks.
Yeah. A lot of things have came to light since technology kicked in. I say it's when technology kicked in. That's when everything started to coincide with each other. You know, with mental health and the way they act and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they have the technology now, but it just seems sad that they didn't have it back then because there's people back then that needed it worse than other people.
I agree.
I'm just glad for technology.
Yeah.
Because the technology's kicked in and it can practically help with whatever the doctor needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Him being homeless, geez, he was before 10 that he was homeless, right?
Yes.
That's too young to be homeless. Way too young.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the sexual abuse in there, and it's just like the poor kid had a hard life from the get-go.
Exactly.
Being incarcerated, it didn't help as well. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in those, too.
Yeah, exactly. He got raped in there, gang-raped, actually.
And then talking about how many girls he's killed.
Yeah, and the thing I don't understand, why was he let go when he supposedly killed all these girls?
Mm-hmm.
I would think they'd keep somebody in. I'm surprised he's still not getting in trouble if he's not in prison.
Well, I'm thinking he took off.
Is there anything you would like to add to that?
No.
Okay. We would like to know from you, our listeners, what you all think about what we read. Let us know by leaving a comment on our website. The link will be in the description. This has been your host, Olivia, and
co-host, Michelle,
on our podcast, Talking About True Crime. What we covered in this episode was the life and crimes of Pedro Lopez, more specifically, Pedro raping and murdering young girls. Please spread the word to your family and friends if you liked what we did and if you think they would too. Please hit that follow button if you like our content and want to hear more from us. In our next episode, we will be covering Richard Ramirez, who was an American serial killer and a sex offender. So if you want to hear about him, please come back to listen to his life and crimes and hear what we have to say about him. As I stated before, we take requests on who you want us to cover. So if you want to do that, head over to our website and leave a comment with your name, who you want us to cover, and why. We now have listener support. If you want to make a monthly donation to us, that would be extremely helpful, and any donations will be used to make our podcast better. If you are hearing this message, you've listened to another entire episode, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Talking About True Crime, and if you have, please leave us a review, as it will help us get noticed. Thank you.